Yes. Since 2001, British Columbia has received over $250 million from the federal government for early childhood development, including child care. And yet today, BC is spending $40 million less of its own funding on child care, and even with federal money, $20 million less on child care than in 2001. Linda is right, today was a historic day for child care. Agreements were signed between the federal government and the provinces of Manitoba and Saskatchewan. That reflects 30 years of work of parents and families and advocates and women across this country. The agreements that were signed today, however, are not simply agreements to transfer more money around vague principles to provinces. Based on the hard work in the community and the experience in BC and other provinces, the agreements signed today include key building blocks of a quality child care program. So my question to all of the panelists is, if elected, will your government sign an agreement with the federal government to build a child care system in this province that, one, invests in regulated, community-based, nonprofit child care services, two, uses federal money to supplement, not replace, provincial spending. Three, works with the community to develop action plans that have measurable targets for affordable quality childcare access. And four, be accountable by reporting out publicly on how the money was spent against measurements that are clearly understood. Thank you.
So a multi-level question, and Jenny's going to take it first.
Thank you for that question, and the answers to all four of your questions is yes, 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 and yes. It is stated in our platform that we want to ensure universality, that we want to ensure quality, we want to ensure accountability, and you know what, most important of all, we want to ensure access in terms of services to the community. Quality childcare is absolutely crucial. And we know that child care centers and licensed daycares do make a difference in children's lives. That's why my two-year-old is there getting the benefit of the child care environment in the hopes that I think that's the best investment that I could make for her. Now, I'm fortunate because I'm able to afford it without the subsidies to send my child to child care. I'll tell you this, the Liberal government have actually cut child care subsidies, as many people know in this room. And even they say that they have increased the subsidies now a little bit. It doesn't even cover what they actually took away when they first took office in 2001. So we will absolutely commit to spending all of the federal dollars into childcare in the way that is accountable, in the way that you ensure that those dollars are accessible, in the way that we provide quality childcare, in the way that we ensure universality in the childcare, because that is the best investment we could make.
We will be absolutely accountable for child care dollars coming to British Columbia, just as we were accountable. And I'm going to say this again, because no one is going to leave here thinking that there was some vague understanding about how those early childhood dollars would be spent. They were spent on early childhood development in the province of British Columbia, and the person who posed the question absolutely understands that it was transparent and it was accountable. Do not leave this room understanding for a moment that there was not ongoing dialogue with the federal government regularly in terms of their satisfaction with how British Columbia invested the early childhood development dollars. Don't leave this room for a second understanding that misinformation that's just been posed to you. The dollars that come to British Columbia today designated for child care will be spent on child care.
Adrian.
Yes to all your questions, and well put. You sure know your information. Linda, I think the issue here is not whether the dollars will be spent, but whether they will be spent in addition to the commitment of the province already. And so the fear of people is that federal dollars will be used to replace provincial dollars, and thus, in fact, the provincial budget priorities will be less. The reason why I question transparency is also because of this. 2 years ago, when I was in budget lockup, there was an announcement made coming out that new budget that spending in the Ministry of Children and Family Development increased by $70 million. I looked at those figures, and you know what it said? That the Liberals had intended to reduce the Ministry of Children and Family Development spending by $190 million. They instead reduced it by $120 million, reduced it by $120 million, and announced it as a $70 million increase. That's wrong.
Our next question.
In the Tri-City area, we had cuts to the Women's Centre, but we also had increased funding to the transition houses. And what I'm asking each of the candidates to do is answer two questions, because what happened in the Tri-Cities is we moved from a collective to an actual board of directors, and the board is all a volunteer board. I don't know if this is an isolated case, but in the Tri-Cities, we actually have additional funding now for second stage housing. My question is, if you had the choice and limited funding, would you go back to the drop-in programs to the Women's Centre, or would you put more money into critical care for transition houses? And secondly, what's your opinion of a collective model compared to a board of directors?
Linda, would you like to take this one first?
I certainly think that both models can be accountable, no question. I'm pleased with the $37 million that's gone to assist transition houses. I think it's vitally important that those services be available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And certainly the 20 women's centres that continue to be funded across British Columbia do the work that's required in terms of prevention in this province. So there are some good opportunities before us in terms of how we reinvest in social services as we go forward, no question.
Jenny Kwan.
Thank you. The issue is this. It's not about transition houses versus community center. It is about a continuum of services for women throughout our communities. And that's what women's centers and transition houses with an array of other programs did. When the government took away money from women's centers and say that they redistributed those dollars into transition houses, they're pitting communities against communities, organizations against organizations. And you know what? That doesn't serve the people. And you know what? Transition houses themselves, and I've spoken with many of them, they said to me that they need the women's centers in place because they do some different work. Yes, there's some aspects of which where they do provide similar services, but there's also a very big element in which women actually, those services provide different kinds of work, and that's what we need, a continuum of services. And I would say that's the part that actually, quite frankly, the Liberal government doesn't get. And that's why they went after 47 women's centers. Now I'll go further to say this. They went after the 47 women's centers. Why? Because they did advocacy work, and they said it to their face. And you know what? It doesn't matter who is in government. We will always need advocates out there to push the envelope so they hold the government to account so that they do the right thing. I will admit that the NDP did some wrong things. And you know what? Thank goodness you guys were there to watch us. And you know, people talked about the ghost of Glenn Clark today continuously. Well, he's now gone from politics. We now have a new leader under the NDP. Her name is Carol James. And she has a track record of bringing balance and collaboration with the community together. People actually sent the NDP a message because of that in 2001, because of the different administration's leadership. It is time to hold this government to account and to make sure that we move forward instead of backwards.
Adrienne Carr.
Actually, I think Jenny just argued effectively as to why we need some Green Party MLAs. Some new voices to hold both the NDP and the Liberals accountable. Regarding your question, different models of structuring organizations, the board model versus a collective model, I happen to have worked most of my life beyond the college, that is, in a collective model, in a consensus model. I like it. I think both can be effective, but more importantly, I think the groups that are delivering the service should make the decision about how they are to be structured that suits them the best. And, sorry, the question about women's centers versus the crisis services, it's not an either-or. I hear these either-or things all the time. Do you want a good environment or a good economy? I mean, that is, I'm close to using language I shouldn't, but that is the wrong question. It is not about choosing between those things. We want a good economy. We want a healthy environment. We want women's centers. We want crisis centers too.
Our next question.
My name is Fomulangu. I'm from the Center of Integration for African Immigrants. Yes, you have been calling about everything. May you start, you didn't talk about racism. Racism is big in British Columbia. Among black people, among black women, 100% of black women don't have a job. Not because they don't have a qualification, because they're not included. Funding, I'm going to say about funding. The funding goes, that is a question. The funding goes with the population. If the Chinese population are voting, funding goes to the Chinese. The East Indian are voting, fund go to the East Indian. The funding don't go to black people. The crisis, 30 months waiting list for social welfare. A woman come from Africa, from the war town, and come here to look for a peace, and you told him to wait for 3 months for having a welfare. Where is he going to stay? What is he going to do?
We need a question.
Yeah. The question is, how these three governments, if you are in place, and you don't even assist to the black people funding, how are you going to find the population without counting the numbers? If it are small, they can put the funding. If they are big, they can put the funding. If they call you to assist, to come where they're doing the function, to you to know what their problem and how you can come and get it. The question of Linda. Linda, you are in Richmond. You never came to Black History Month. They invite you several times to come to the Richmond. You didn't come. You go to the Chinese because the Chinese, they can vote you.
We need a question now, sir. You've run out of time.
To include all the people without any choosing thing. Thank you.
I've been elected a long, long time, 14 years, and I've done my absolute best to be in as many different communities as possible when they are interested in having me come. And I certainly do all kinds of, I think, really good work with a whole variety of communities that have issues that they bring to me. I spent this afternoon with a group of women from Somalia. Did they raise the particular issue of racism? Did they craft it in the ways you presented it today? No, they didn't. And that's not to say they don't have other issues. But I can tell you I'm extraordinarily proud of Richmond in terms of the sense of multiculturalism we have, the sense of diversity, and the fact that we have some fabulous agencies in Richmond who do their utmost to treat individual British Columbians, not based on their ethnicity or their race, not at all. And certainly I have not had the level of angst you would bring to this question this afternoon or this evening. The individuals who reside in my riding, frankly, have felt that they've been well supported in terms of seeking services, because every single social service agency we have in Richmond treats people individually and equally. No question.
Jenny?
Maybe I can just provide this. Under the Liberal government, they've actually canceled the equal employment opportunities component within the ministry. When we're in government, we worked hard to ensure that the multicultural communities reflected within the bureaucracy, within the services that we provided within government in terms of appointments to boards and agencies. And you know what? That's now gone. They even went ahead to eliminate that those few words on the bottom of a letterhead. So to say explicitly, that's something that they do not support. The government actually cut anti-racism programs. And that targets all communities who face racism. And you know what? We do see issues of racism coming back to haunt us. We've made a lot of gains. Make no mistake about that. And I want to thank everyone who's worked so hard to advance that issue. But we have a lot of challenges in our community, and a lot of it is not spoken. I'll tell you, this government actually brought in a process on the settlement services that actually eliminated all the services for refugee claimants. You got to ask the question, what's wrong with that picture? And the government proudly did this, and then they're going to do it again through the second RFP process. They didn't even learn from the first time when everyone rose up from the immigrant community and said, this is not the right thing to do. So let me tell you, it is time for us to ensure that all members of our community and all of their issues are heard and are reflected in government decisions and government policies. And you know what? We need to work together on this and not pit communities against communities, as quite frankly the Liberals have done over the last 4 years.
Adrian, your thoughts?
Yeah,
Yes, just very quickly. Indeed, a settlement services and transfer funds from the federal government to the province in order to provide a variety of programs, including English as a second language training, have not been put to their full dollar value, at least by the studies I've read, one of which is from Simon Fraser University, saying that British Columbia is one of the lowest in terms of spending its proportion of transfer funds for settlement services on that direct set of programs.
Next question from the floor.
Over the last 4 years, there's been approximately $200 million cut from the Ministry of Children and Family Development. There have been a rise of 33% increase in deaths of children in care. There, because of the policy changes of this administration, there have been many more children and youth at risk. The rate in youth homelessness has risen across the province. What I'd like to know is, as MLAs, if you were elected to the legislature, will you advocate within your party and hold your party accountable to having a public, open inquiry into the child welfare system of this province? Will you stop any further cuts from the Ministry of Children and Families of frontline workers? Will you put back funding into community services, because through the service redesign, funding has been lost, wait lists have increased for everything, including counseling, including IDP, including speech language. I would like to hear what your commitments are as MLAs and what commitment your party has to these things.
Would you like somebody to respond first?
I would like anyone who wants to jump in to do so.
Adrian?
Sure. Yes, I actually just met with people in my community around this very issue. You're absolutely right to point out the problems related to care, and especially related to changes in eligibility rules. Well, there's two things I want to talk about. Eligibility rules is the first. The fact that children have to have already suffered in order to be eligible for support in MCFD is wrong. Right now, I don't know how many of you know this, but a teacher, an adult in the community who identifies what they believe to be a child at risk of harm, used to be able to go to a Ministry of Children and Family Development and say, please intervene in this situation and try and avoid the problem from happening. And that's changed now. There has to be injury before a child is eligible.
That's not true.
Well, that's what they told me in Powell River. Secondly, that in terms of foster care, that the placement of children in a foster care home is in, rather than some of the level 2 or level 3 homes, if they believe a child is severely at risk, it's immediate placement. The immediate placement call is in the lowest level of foster care. So that, in fact, then if the problem ends up becoming worse, moved to the next level of foster care home, so it can get worse and worse, the situation exacerbated. It all seems to be about saving money, about the least cost alternative, not thinking about the best alternative for the child.
Will you support a call for an inquiry into the child welfare system in this province?
It seems like a good idea. It's not in our platform. I'm glad to be informed of it. And if you have different information about the change in regulation, because I just talked to workers in the field on this. If you have different information, speak to me afterwards.
We're out of time, so we'd like to hear from Jenny Kwan.
Thank you very much. It is absolutely true that the government actually cut $200 million from the Ministry of Children and Family, and they did it at a time of major restructuring when everyone across the community said, please do not do this because you're going to create chaos. In the midst of that, we also had added scandals of insiders and friends who actually wasted millions of dollars of that should have actually gone into supporting children and families, and that did not happen. So I can tell you, in the midst of all of that, the government, in addition, also eliminated the independent watchdogs within the ministry who would actually say some of the things that's going on is simply unacceptable, to investigate why children are getting hurt and injured critically, why children are dying, why children that are known to the ministry have died as a result of, and so on. And all of that work that was actually recommended by Gove is now gone. And when Gordon Campbell and the Liberals were in opposition, they called for that independent, those independent watchdogs, and we now no longer have that. The NDP, yes, we will reinstitute the independent watchdogs. We think that is absolutely critical to keep the government to account. We will restore $33 million into the Ministry of Children and Family Development as a first step, because the cuts in many areas are very deep, make no mistake about that, but that would be a first step. On the question around looking at appointing an inquiry into the entire ministry, I think that's a question that's well worth considering, and that's something that, again, we need to, if you have more information, I would certainly welcome in receiving that. But the chaos that is in the Ministry of Children and Family Development is frightening, and you know what? It is the children and the families who are getting hurt at the end of the day, unfortunately.
Certainly the impression I think you left was that somehow investigations of child injury or neglect are not followed up in this province is absolutely wrong.
I'm sorry, this.
And what do you
no
base
time.
That on?
Well, the system absolutely follows up.
And where would that be? Found. Where would that information be found publicly?
The reality is, anytime a child dies
nowhere.
In the province of British Columbia, enormous tragedy, no question about that. There is a children's officer in the province today, her name is Jane Morley, and she continues to do some very good work for this province.
So you've had your time, and you've asked your question, we've got to move on.
In terms of
sorry, Linda, you've had your time, I'm sorry, we'd have to move on. No, I just loaded... Oh, I'm sorry, you haven't done it. I'm so sorry, I apologize, and I'll start the clock.
The last part of the question was in terms of infant development, the budget for infant development in this province, and many of you will know that's for very vulnerable infants, and it follows them from birth to 3 years of age, and it's followed up by supported child development. Those budgets in this province continue to rise, and it speaks to me dramatically as a special educator that there's a place for those little guys in communities across this province, and that funding is in place today.
Thank you. Next question.